KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Arrhythmias that occur in the top part of the heart can be merely distracting or quite serious, such as atrial fibrillation in the atria, which carries a risk for stroke. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says the most concerning rhythm disorder occurs in the ventricle.
The bottom part has some arrhythmias. The most significant one is ventricular fibrillation, which is the cause of sudden cardiac death, which is the number one cause of death in this country. It almost outweighs all cancers combined. Unfortunately, that could be the first presentation of heart disease, is sudden death. A small percentage of patients who show up with their first heart attack have sudden death, an arrhythmia problem, and that's devastating.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Debora Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Debora.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We continue with Sean, and I wanted to get your thoughts, Sean, on some of the updates here that we've had with the Secret Service, specifically with Ronald Rowe, who now, according to whistleblower reports to Josh Hawley, Rowe was responsible for about a 20% scale back in staff, and also the report that they did not do the typical vetting of a venue in advance. And now there's also reports that this had been a glaring issue for weeks, if not months and months, according to some of these counter snipers, which can only lead you at this point to the conclusion, at least in my opinion, that this was not incompetence or ineptitude. I have no problem saying it. I believe this was a setup to have Donald Trump assassinated. The only thing that prevents me being 100% of that belief, and I'm about 99% of the way there, is I want to know what was on that encrypted device that Crooks had and who exactly he was communicating with. Other than that, right now, it's my belief that they sent him out there to be killed.
I think when you look at, and I make the joke all the time, again, I'm a Jets fan. I know what incompetence looks like. I have never seen this much incompetence on display before. I don't think it's humanly possible. Now, I think it's very important if we're going to take the stance that we think there was some sort of inside job or setup, which I don't think is unreasonable at all. Mm-hmm. I think if we're going to take that, we have to understand how they would be able to pull something like that off. So obviously not everybody was in on it, right?
Sure.
SWAT teams weren't talking to Secret Service. The agents who jumped on stage and covered Donald Trump's body, I don't think they had a clue what was going on. I think you had a small group of people who were aware of the threat. And, you know, there was all this cell phone data, too, about somebody who kept showing up with Crooks's house from Washington, D.C., whose phone was traced close to an FBI building. Who was that person? Right. Who denied drone assistance from local PD? Ron Rowe admitted that happened. Who said no? Why did they say no? Are we ever going to get answers to that question? I think what happened was somebody knew there was a threat. They were very, very well aware of the fact that this kid was going to be able to make the shot. The original stories that came out about him being kicked off of his high school rifle team was not true. According to his high school, said there was no record that he ever even tried out for the team. The shooting club that he went to had a 100 meter I'm sorry, I think it was a 100 meter steel plate shooting practice the day before the rally. Turns out he wound up shooting at about 130 meters, 130 yards. They're about the same distance. And he's walking around with a rangefinder. There are too many oops, you know, that went on, too many things that slipped through the cracks for me to believe that it was all innocent and incompetence. This seems to me like you had a certain group of people who knew about the threat and threw him to the wolves. I hate saying that. I can't make a clear 100% determination, but I'm going to say it requires the least amount of assumptions for me to say that they knew about him, they threw him out there anyway, than to say a 20-year-old outmaneuvered and outsmarted the greatest security force, what's supposed to be the greatest security force in the world. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that it looks like it was a setup, that they tried to have him killed. And I think that's why we're seeing no clear, straight answers right now, because the answers that they have, or the answers that exist, are not acceptable to anybody, and they have to do their best to sweep it under the rug. And by the way, they're doing a great job. People seem to be letting it go, and that really disappoints me. That really disappoints me, because I heard this was it. This is the line in the sand, and half of our movement has gone to sleep over this issue, and it's very unfortunate.
Well, and Mary, that's what you were talking about earlier this morning, about how we've just moved on to the next thing with a short attention span, and this story is kind of moving, you know, and been slid off to the back burner, so to speak, and the media would love nothing more to move on to the next thing. They probably can't wait for Kamala to select her VP, get to the DNC, and put all this attempted assassination stuff in the rearview mirror.
And you know what's really sad is I truly believe it would be the exact same thing had Trump been killed. I think it would have been the same thing. There would have been a big state funeral. We all would have watched. It would have been on national television. I said, oh, that's really too bad. And there would have been those who were outwardly celebrating all of this. And we'd be at the same place right now where we are as far as not talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah. and to Sean's point, as I keep saying, they're either the most incompetent group of people in U.S. history or complicit. But it's because Greg brought this up and we were talking about it earlier, because the advent of cell phones and social media, there's so much more out there now for people to say, hey, look, that guy was all over the roof. He brought up it was a slanted roof. There are handicap ramps that are more slanted than that roof. Right. He was running around on the roof. Did the people below him? It was a steel roof, a metal roof. Did you not hear him jumping around up there? Did they not hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they heard it. But the fact that the people on the ground, including the Secret Service agents on the ground, were not really in on what was going on. They weren't told. They were just as confused as everybody else. Like, why aren't we talking to each other? How come there was no meeting beforehand? That, to me, is a good sign in the possibility of the truth coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people asking questions, and because of social media, these questions are now legitimate. So they can't keep it under wraps as much as they could when you only had the Zapruder film, if you know, from Kennedy's assassination. So I do have a little bit more hope of the truth coming out, and I do think it's a smaller group of people, and because it didn't succeed, they're panicking now to try to cover this up, because somebody's got to go down for this. And they're all pointing. It's like this. You know, everybody's pointing at everybody else. Somebody's going to be the sacrificial lamb for this. It wasn't Cheadle. I'm sure Cheadle got bought off. That's just me. But somebody is going to go down for this, I think, somewhere along the line, maybe 20 years down the road. But it's going to happen.
Sean, let me get your thoughts. One last thing on Trump, and then I want to get to this Title IX and the boxing stuff that we talked about in the big take this morning. So we saw the parents for the second time just 2 days ago. The mom wearing a hooded sweatshirt, looks like she's got a COVID mask on, obviously trying to conceal her entire identity and her face. The dad speaking for the second time. I think the first time around it was, you know, we're not going to issue a statement, respect our privacy, that whole facade. And then 2 days ago, he gets hit with like three questions, doesn't say anything other than I need to pee, as in I need to urinate.
Right.
He's 20 years old, the deceased shooter Crooks, but obviously there was issues going on, still living at home. I think even if your child is an adult and he's still living at home, you need to understand like what's going on. And it's like I brought this analogy up yesterday, and I think you'll like this as a football fan. You know, Kirby Smart's dealing with all sorts of culture issues in his locker room at the University of Georgia, all sorts of violence and criminal activity with his players. You need to know what's going on in your locker room and your culture. I think the same thing applies to some extent with parents, even when they are adults with their child. Do you think the parents are somewhat complicit and need to be held accountable a little bit with what transpired with their son?
Well, I think there need to be questions asked, and I think there need to be better answers than "I need to pee." I think that was insulting to everybody, to the entire country. And I'll flip this on you, right?
Yep.
If Thomas Crooks was a January 6th rioter who broke a window and entered the Capitol, do you think they'd be getting off that easy?
No.
I don't. I really don't. I am tired of seeing people, you know, like J6ers get railroaded while we're giving sweetheart deals to the people behind 9/11. This administration is the most disgusting, reprehensible administration I have ever seen in this country. And you know, I lived through Obama. I was a little younger, right? But lived through it. And you have the parents. And again, yes, he's 20 years old, so he's technically an adult. They should be questioned. They should divulge what they know, right? The father apparently didn't think anything was up when Thomas Crooks left the house with the AR-15. Fine. He said that Thomas Crooks had been using that and been gone shooting with it, which means he's been practicing with it. Fine. Mm-hmm. What else do we know about your son? Do you know anything about his political leanings? Is he a Trump guy? Is he a Biden guy? Has he ever expressed, you know, any thoughts? Did he keep it all to himself? I don't know. I want them to at least answer those questions with something more substantive than "I have to pee." But you look at this because you have these folks, the parents of these folks. If Thomas Crooks was somebody who was screaming "Hang Mike Pence" on January 6th, they'd have been grilled by the FBI. Instead, they're getting a pass, right? So we go after one sect of people, but we don't go after another group of people. I firmly believe, by the way, I mentioned that, you know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the rest of these, you know, swine that they gave a sweetheart deal to, right? Oh, they've avoided the death penalty. They pled guilty to killing 3,000 people in a day. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
And we've given them a sweetheart deal. And I firmly believe, I posted about this last night, I firmly believe that is Kamala Harris pandering to the death to America voters in Michigan. All right. And I want to be clear. I don't believe all Muslim people are terrorists. I don't believe that at all. I believe there are fundamentalists of every religion that could be considered dangerous. What I will tell you is in Dearborn, Michigan, with Rashida Tlaib, I call her Piggy Smalls for a reason. The notorious P.I.G. We call her Piggy Smalls. She's a pig. We don't like the notorious P.I.G. We say, "Piggy, piggy, piggy, can't you see? Sometimes what you say infuriates me." I can tell you that. But you see what she did with the uncommitted vote. They're going to have these people stay home. Genocide Joe, Free Palestine, Death to America. Well, it's hard to pander to the Death to America people if you sentence three Death to America people to death. Right. Mm-hmm. So we let them live now in our prisons and we pay for them to stay alive and we pay for their meals. And I'm a pro-life guy, but not when you killed 3,000 of my people. Now I'm not pro-life anymore when it comes to that person. Right. Yep. So I think she's pandering to that group of people with this whole thing. And again, why are they getting special treatment when J6ers who peacefully protested, some of whom went into the Capitol and asked the cops, "Hey, how can I help you out?" These people are being locked up on charges of civil disorder. This is felony charges. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And yet Thomas Crooks' parents have the nerve. His father, "I have to pee." If your kid was a J6er, you would have been in jail already. You would have been subpoenaed. You would have been grilled by the FBI. But your kid tried to kill Trump and you tell us we have to pee and we have to accept it? Nonsense. This is the worst, most egregious, most disgusting administration I think we've ever lived through. And Americans need to see it. And conservatives have to be the ones who push this content out. The audiences that are behind everybody's podcasts and radio shows and TV shows have to be more engaged here, because the mainstream media is trying to sweep it all under the rug. Oh, yeah, Kamala Harris, Michelle, you can't say DEI. That's the N-word. You people have been saying DEI for the last 4 years. Have you been saying the N-word? I mean, are we ever going to hold these people accountable? We have the power to do it. We just have to actually put in the work to do it. And that's my challenge to my viewers and listeners and mm-hmm. followers every day.
Yep.
What are we doing to make a difference?
Yeah, indeed. Lastly, Title IX obliterated by the Biden administration. 52 years of progress for women down the drain. It went into effect, the Biden rewrite of Title IX yesterday. Coincidentally enough, we have that whole debacle and charade, a man against a woman in boxing on the Olympic stage. And what I don't get, and I said this in the Big Take this morning, and I called out females of every political party, whether they're progressive, liberal, moderate, conservative, what is it going to take for all women, if not all, a majority of women? Because I believe most women do not believe men should be in women's sports, but they're afraid to voice their opinion. I mean, what's it going to take? A woman actually having brain damage? A woman, God forbid, being killed? What is it going to take for women? Because men can only do so much. Like, this should be a fight for all, but I do think it falls on deaf ears a little bit when a man's bloviating about it, but it would be more impactful if more women spoke up. Your thoughts on what you watched, because I know you're a sports guy, and you obviously have some strong takes on this as well.
Well, I thought it was disgusting to see what happened on the Olympic stage, and it was only a matter of time. And this is the reason why we've been saying men should not be competing in women's sports. It's not bigoted. It's a safety issue. It's not a red or a blue or a Democrat or a Republican or a liberal or a conservative issue. It's a common sense issue.
Yep.
It's a health issue. That's why Angela Carini, who was there to honor her father, who told her to never give up, that's why she gave up. Because she said she felt like her life was in danger. That should never be that. I get it. It's boxing. It's like fighting. I understand. You're not supposed to believe that you might die in a boxing ring because you're facing somebody biologically superior. If they're athletically superior because they trained harder, they lifted bigger weights, you know, they're just better than you. But the variables that can be controlled, i.e., you know, can't be controlled, your gender, your biological makeup, those things, you know, we can't do anything about that, right? If it's one guy versus another guy, at least you're both guys, and may the best fighter win. In this case, the best fighter didn't win. The biologically superior being won. It was unfair. She never could have won in that ring yesterday. This isn't about Republicans, Democrats, bathrooms, trans bathrooms, you know, bigoted, nothing. This is not about those things. This is about common sense. The women in the United States of America, I have nothing against women, obviously, not an issue, but I think you're right. They need to speak up, just like the Black community needs to speak up. You have seen this group, the left, make promise after promise after promise after promise. They're going to make things better. They're going to support women's rights and then erode what it means to be a woman, take away what is sacred about being a woman. The same with the Black community. We hear that they're going to do all these things for the Black community and then they bus in these illegals and forget about the Black community. It's like Stockholm syndrome. You're in love with your captors. This needs to change. But what is the definition of insanity? It is repeating the same behaviors and expecting different results. The Black community has done this forever. They have voted Democrat under the idea that the Democrats are going to help them, and the Democrats don't help them, but they keep voting for Democrats as if something's going to change. You've got to change your behavior if you want to change the outcome, right? So for women, if you're tired of feeling uncomfortable when you walk into a public restroom, not knowing if there's a guy in there ready to attack you, or if you're an athlete and you're not sure if your hard work is going to be wiped away because you were forced to compete against somebody biologically superior to you, not superior to you because they trained harder, but because they were born a different biological makeup than you, you know, or if you're a member of the Black community who is tired of your streets being unsafe and you heard that defunding the police was going to help and it didn't help, then you need to change your behavior. You need to stop voting for the people who told you they're going to help. And then every cycle don't help. You have to change the behavior if you want a different outcome, or else I'm going to call you insane because you're expecting different results from the exact same behaviors. That's what insanity looks like. And it's unfortunate. I don't think these people are insane. I think they don't understand that the Republican alternative is actually viable because of what they're being fed through the mainstream media. These people are Hitler. They're bigots. They're racist. You can't vote for them. Republicans are the ones who want to return actual equality, equal opportunities to all. May the best people succeed. And if you want to succeed, you got to work for it. And there's nothing racist about that. That is the most empowering thing you can be told. Hey, you want to succeed in life? Go bust your butt for quite some time. And you will earn that success instead of being handed something and then have to keep doing tricks for the next handout. Go work your tail off, earn that success. Anybody is capable of doing it. Marcus Aurelius, my favorite philosopher, said, if nothing is impossible, if it is humanly possible, you can do it too. If you're a human, I'm a human. You want to host a podcast? I do it. You might have a better one than me. Work for it. And that's what this country's about. That's the American dream. But we have become so allergic to success and working hard because we expect everything to be given to us Started with the participation trophies, and now here we are, right? Now here we are thinking we have to have stuff dropped on our lap instead of working hard for it. There's nothing racist about saying everybody should try to work hard for what they want. It's the most empowering thing I think you can be told. It's in your control. It's in your power to achieve success. You just got to bust your backside for it. And I applaud anybody who still is of that mindset, because those are the people who are going to help take our country back and drive this country in the right direction.
Sean Farish, ladies and gentlemen, how about that? 50 minutes of strong opinions and lots of good laughs as Donald J. Trump.
The greatest great stuff opinions, is, by the way. The greatest opinions. Nobody has opinions like this. I can tell you that.
Good stuff, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Sean Farish with us.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's a flamethrower Friday. We've had My Big Take. You had Mary just there. Sean Farish was going off for about 25 minutes. And the TikTok clip we played earlier of that lady dunking on Kamala Harris.
Okay, she wins. I'm sorry. Yeah, I love right. Sean. You're right. She wins.
I may play her. Yeah. I may play her again at the end.
It was up to me. I would just run it for the next 20 minutes on loop.
No, we can't.
Disrespect to Sean. I love him. Yeah. I think it's hilarious. I love his the whole shticky thing. I love it.
Yep.
But man, sorry.
Yeah. I think even Sean would admit she wins.
Yeah.
She's gold medal. He gets silver since we're in the Olympics.
Ah, nice little touch. There you go. All right, 9:33.
Wait a minute. If we're in the Olympics, Mary, what are you getting? You're getting the gold medal for bringing it for 2 days, for waking up.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah, I just kind of thought awful. I was in the back hawking the popcorn is what was going on here.
Is that fan working okay for you, by the way, up in the attic?
Yeah, thank God we took a break, because it was 78 degrees up here. I was all right, we're starting to get to the point where it's a little schwitzy up here. You know, it's a little humid and schwitzy. And so I put that on. I was like,
yeah. All right, let's find out what soccer has lined up to wrap up the week with What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet
Part 2? Getting back to the prisoner swap, this happened last night at about close to midnight at the Joint Base Andrews in Maryland there. The Paul Whelan, Gerchkovich, and somebody else came home. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were on the tarmac waiting. Joe Biden gave a little impromptu speech. So did Kamala Harris. We'll get to Kamala Harris because...
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, Mary sent me this. This is a word salad of hers.
Oh, I've missed those.
Joe Biden spoke first. So let's start here with cut 10, Philip. Go.
I asked them to do some things that were against their immediate self-interest, and really very difficult for them to do, particularly Germany and Slovenia. Slovenia came in at the last minute, and I tell you what, the chancellor was incredible. He was incredible.
So what's your message to other countries that may think that
a good way to get something they want from us? Hey, look, that's been the case for all of history. My job is to make sure that, number one, they don't get them. If they do, we get them back. I don't buy this idea that you're going to let these people rot in jail because other people may be captured. We're going to set out all the notifications to all the other countries, all our citizens, the countries not to go to, what to do, what not to do, and they got to pay attention. We got more work to do. So.
And then Joe would wrap it up and say something like this. Oh, sorry about that, Stiker. I forgot you had the music going. So let me ask you this, Mary. Is it inhumane for the response to that act of bringing those Americans home that it's a bad precedent? I mean, if you're talking about not giving up, as Bolton was saying, where you don't give up you know, high valued assets in exchange for your own, because I think that's kind of what you were saying earlier, where now, you know, Russia can continue to kidnap other Americans that are over there and then play this whole game again.
Absolutely. Did you notice he said there, we make sure they don't, that they don't get them. That was the quote, meaning that the Russians don't get them. We make sure that they don't get them. Seriously, sir, two of the three that you brought back were kidnapped under your watch.
Right. Yes.
Is you know, we're just going to forget that, you know, but and why? I know they got to trot him out every now and then because he's got to earn the paycheck.
Well,
I
was just going to ask you, is that the last act?
I had to turn the volume up. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? What are you saying, buddy?
Well,
speak up!
I need the big ear horn. Hey, can't hear you. I needed like that big horn that they used to have in the cartoons, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
I couldn't hear him. So they trotted him out just to show that Joe's vibrant. And apparently, according to Kamala Harris, he was all involved. Everyone's saying Joe was totally involved in the prisoner swap. He worked super hard at that. I mean, can they just stop lying to us now? Because, like, we know that that's not true.
Yeah, he just found out at about 10:30 last night, probably.
Exactly. No, they just told him he was going for ice cream, so he got in the car.
Yeah, who's this guy?
He had no clue where he was going.
Who?
It's insulting at this point. It's like when a guy breaks up with you and he says, oh, it's not you, it's me. But in the meantime, he's telling you while he's standing there holding his girlfriend's hand, and you're like, wait, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's just insulting at this point in the game. I don't mind.
I agree.
You know.
I was waiting for him to botch Gershkovich by saying Gorbachev.
Yeah. Well, notice he didn't even try.
No, he didn't.
He's just like, don't even try it. They know. Yeah. They got to keep it to like Smith, Jones. It's that kind of thing with him.
Yeah.
Didn't even try.
He's got no idea who any of these people are.
And then Vice President Harris was asked about this. This is what she said. This is Cut 11, Phil. Go.
This is an extraordinary day. And I'm very thankful for our president and what he has done over his entire career, but in particular as it relates to these families and these individuals, what he has been able to do to bring the allies together on many issues, but in particular this one. This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances.
Right.
This is an incredible day.
Yeah. With the significance of the passage of time, right?
Yeah, she gets,
as we've heard.
There are certain words that she loves to keep going to. We all do, right? We all have certain words.
Sure.
I'm trying to work the word shenanigans into my vocabulary a little bit more. Like, every now and then I pick a word, and I'm like, we need to use that word more.
Yeah, so if you're going to be on this show, you need to work it in, because that's all we do is shenanigans around
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Hijinks is another one.
Yep. Yeah, tomfoolery.
Right? But for her, it's significance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The significance of the significance of the past. Once she gets that word in there, she's done.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a downward spiral at that point, and she can't help herself.
Yep.
And it just, when she uses that word, that's the signal of, I've lost my train of thought, we're heading into nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. It's all gone. Sorry, yeah. It's gone. Yep. I did like the first sentence perfectly. I got nothing else to say. It's significance.
And I know exactly what that looks like. That look looks like. I've seen it on Tony Bruno's face every 20 minutes.
By the way, we on this show, Mary, always say that she's like the kid who stands up in front of the classroom to give a book report, but hasn't read the book.
Yes.
So keeps saying the same, like, the name of the book over and over again. Moby Dick is about a whale. And Moby Dick was a big, you know
Moby
what I mean?
Dick.
Yeah, it was a Moby Dick. And the Moby Dick has the Moby Dick. With
and
the
it's
Moby
significant
Dick.
Because
of Moby Dick.
You know, there are people, and I've seen it on X, there are people who were saying that last night, they're like, she was strung out. And I've heard this a couple of times before.
They were both super low energy, were they not?
Super low energy, but I have seen this allegation. There is quite a few people saying it on X today that, like, look at her.
Yeah.
She is strung out. And I don't know if that's true. I haven't really been around a lot of people who have been, quote unquote, strung out. So I don't know what it looks like, but it explains like the weird, inappropriate laughing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The inappropriate laughing, I've always thought, is some nervous anxiety, public speak. It's not a crutch, but it's her way of kind of coping and pivoting with being in a setting that, which is weird because as a former prosecutor, You speak for a living.
Exactly.
You speak to juries and judges and, you know, defense attorneys. Like, it shouldn't be. It's not like she's in front of 80,000 people every time she speaks. You go in front of the White House press gaggle and there's 13 people in there. It's not that difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to start. I'm not making an allegation. I'm just saying that if it's true, I can understand the behavior a little bit more. And that's why maybe that's why we don't know whose cocaine that was in the White House.
Dawn has long thought that she's under some sort of medication, you know.
Yeah, well, okay, let's call it medication to be
yeah.
honest.
Yes, right? I have no idea.
Just like
what
mommy's
it is.
Little pill. Mommy's got to go take her medication. I get it. Mommy's little helper, right?
Mommy's little helper.
Chardonnay and diet pills, I think is what...
I think back in the day, when the Rolling Stones recorded that, Mommy's little helper was like Xanax or something, right?
Yeah.
Running through the shelter of mother's little helper.
Of their mother's little helper. Mm. Yeah.
By the way, can we just say this, you know, when we talk about age and everything, just remember who just turned 81, Mick Jagger. He's touring the world right now, dancing around on stage for 4 hours a night.
And Joe's touring a Baskin Robbins.
Yes. Just it's not about age. It's about health. It's about physicality. It's about mental acuity.
Right.
Just remember that. Like, there's two 81-year-olds that are in a completely different world.
Yep.
Completely different world.
Listen, I didn't like RBG.
Yeah.
I didn't like her at all. But she still had it all together upstairs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I had to give her credit for that. She was all together mentally.
Yep.
And to say that it's age denotes intellect or ability, mental ability, I think is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Sullivan. It's John Kirby, Jake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan was at the podium yesterday and was asked if Kamala was involved in the negotiations over the release of the wrongfully detained Americans. This is cut four. Phil, go.
You've discussed, obviously, the president's involvement, direct involvement in all of this. Can you talk us through any involvement that the vice president had? Was she also speaking directly to other leaders and allies?
So, as I said in my opening comments, both President Biden and Vice President Harris have made the return of unjustly detained Americans American hostages an absolute priority. And in this particular case, Vice President Harris actually had an opportunity to engage with Chancellor Scholz earlier this year at an opportune and timely moment at the Munich Security Conference, where she talked about this issue with him. That followed on a conversation that the president had just a short time before that, and it was in the run of high-level engagements and a back-and-forth that the president and the chancellor were having that Vice President Harris was actually able to sit face-to-face with Chancellor Scholz and talk through the elements of this. And then I've sat in the Oval Office more times than I can count over the course of the past years, providing briefings and updates on this and getting peppered with questions by both the president and the vice president, thinking through the strategy, iterating the approach, which she was a participant in, very much a core member of the team that helped make this happen.
Yeah, she didn't do anything. By the way, is that a comb over or a wig?
Well, we're going to have to do a freeze frame photo breakdown. But before we do that, if Phil can freeze that, I would say she was probably loosely involved at an introductory level as far as, well, here's my wish, now go make it happen. Same thing with Joe. Now, I don't know the full context of the briefing yesterday, but I always, always bring this up every time we talk about foreign policy, whether it's dealing with Russia or the Middle East and Israel. You ever notice it's always Kirby and it's always Sullivan when the heavy lifting has to be done?
Yep.
Like, you just don't get as much Karine Jean-Pierre out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know the binder can't handle that kind of workload.
Again, she checks three boxes.
Yep.
Just not a competent one.
All right. Comb over or wig?
That might be a toupee. Yeah.
I don't even think that's a comb over. I got to go because if that, well, you know what? Because men's hair gets very coarse when it gets like that, when it falls out.
Yeah,
so
I don't have that problem.
I don't. Could be. Yeah, you're the expert. Why don't you tell us?
No, I don't have that problem with hair. But that, if you just look there, if you look on the left side of your screen, which would be the right side of his head, the hair almost doesn't match up with the top.
Good point.
You see that?
Although, look at how deep that part is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, part's really, really deep.
Yeah, part's
unknown.
Can I just say
about what he talked about? Like, he's sitting there telling us about, oh yeah, well, I was peppered with questions from both the president and the vice president.
Yeah.
I would respect all these people so much more if they go, look, the president's out of it. He was out of it then, had no clue what was going on. We just threw him out there. So, you know, no, he didn't ask a question. He wasn't even in the briefing. Mm-hmm. It was nap time. I just be honest with us.
Yeah, I got peppered with questions. Joe was peppering his eggs.
Exactly.
This morning while we were talking, Maria Bartiromo talked to former President Trump. Was asked about, you know, keeps talking about the brave Secret Service agents, which begs a question, you know, I don't know, like, we're all talking here on this side about this conspiracy that happened. It doesn't seem to be coming a lot from the Trump camp, though, does it?
I don't know. They've kind of taken this approach of let's not throw gasoline on the bonfire, yep. Right?
Let's play cut 15 here, Phil, go.
Good Friday morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good Friday morning. I'm Maria Bartiromo, and it is Friday, August 2nd. It is 8:01 on the East Coast. Time for the hot topic of the hour. Former President Trump breaking news about Meta and Google in our sit-down interview last night. He even told me about a surprising call he received after the assassination attempt on his life.
I know that a lot of Silicon Valley types got behind you after the assassination attempt on your life. Elon Musk was supportive before that. And then just over the last 2 weeks, we see what happened with Google and Meta. Google search bar would not bring up results of the shooting. Their AI tool would not even give any information about it. Meta's AI tool said that the shooting was fictional. Facebook labeled photos of you pumping your fist as altered. You still have a major problem with big tech, don't you?
So AI is very complex. It's got tremendous potential, but it also has potential to destroy. And they actually had one of the pictures with everything the same, except they have all of the Secret Service agents around me who are great people, very brave people, because they ran into that fire. Those bullets were going right over my head. And I heard them going. They were moving along. And these people were jumping on top of me. There wasn't one of them that was slow moving. You saw them. They didn't care. They were jumping on top of me. As fast as I was down, they were on top of me. They were very brave. And when I got up, you know, you see the faces. They were not happy. They were angry. And they were looking around. They actually have one picture where the Secret Service is all smiling. They're laughing as they're protecting me. I have the same hand up, everything else. And it's AI. It's a very dangerous thing. We've got to be very careful with artificial intelligence.
I mean, basically what he's saying is we've gone from the fake news to the fake social media with all the fake stuff that's out there and the way AI can make everything and sound almost as authentic as possible. But there's two different things here. We can get into what social media and these companies are doing with the suppression of searches and the way he's handled it politically. I'll grab the political angle on this, Mary. I think he's handled it really well. I mean, he has not been bombastic, combative, pointing fingers. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, said so-and-so's dropped the ball and there was mistakes. But, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's been coached on this from a political strategy standpoint. Or maybe it's just, and none of us can really relate because none of us have been shot in the ear. I don't know. Maybe it's just he's just grateful to be alive. If you would have laid this out to me a year ago and you said, hypothetically, if Trump is close to being assassinated, how do you think he will react? My stock answer would have been he's going to take a flamethrower to everything. But that has not been the case.
No, I agree with you. The way he handled this, the way he was saying with Maria Bartiromo, I think he truly believes that the rank and file, and we said this, in the first hour of the show, the rank and file are annoyed at the leadership for making them look bad. And I think Trump knows that. And most of us don't blame the rank and file. Right? Most of us look, and it's a small group of people at the very top of each one of the alphabet agencies, and they are making the rank and file look bad. So it's at their cost. They're the ones paying the price for it. That's why so many whistleblowers are coming forward. I think that's part of the reason why. And Donald Trump knows that. And so he was always a friend to first responders. Remember 9/11, he had his guys come in and help work, and he was down at the rubble that day. You know, the next day he was down there. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's always been very supportive of the rank and file. I saw that the head of his security team is a guy who was a New York City cop who got fired. So he's I can see him truly feeling that these people are not responsible. They did their jobs. They did what they were supposed to do, and he is grateful to them for that. Mm-hmm. I really believe that that's genuine.
Yep.
They continue with the she continues with the questioning on Meta and AI and fake news being out there, and he discusses that Mark Zucker. Well, I'll let him say it. This is cut the 14. Phil, go.
The picture wasn't altered. At first they said it was altered, and then they said, no, it was a bug.
So
it was a mistake.
Mark Zuckerberg,
my point is
right.
These companies would not allow any information out about what happened.
So Mark Zuckerberg called me. First of all, he called me a few times. He called me after the event, and he said that was really amazing. It was very brave. And you know, and he actually announced he's not going to support a Democrat because he can't, because he respected me for what I did that day. I think what I did maybe was a norm. To me, it was a normal response. But I was called by Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, the day before, on this same subject. And he actually apologized. He said they made a mistake, et cetera, et cetera, and they're correcting the mistake. Google, nobody called from Google. One of the things, like doing a show like yours, your show, you know, you see it on Fox. But what you really see it is all over the place. They take clips of your show that you're doing right now with me. And if I do a good job, they're going to vote for me. They're going to vote for me because it's not just on Fox. It's on Fox is a smaller part of it. You're on all over this, those little beautiful cell phones. You're all over the place. You have a product. You have a great product. You have a great brand. So you have to get out. You have to get out. You have to do things like your show and other shows. And Google has been very bad. They've been very irresponsible. And I have a feeling that Google is going to be close to shut down because I don't think Congress is going to take it. I really don't think so. Google has to be careful. Now, I will say this. I believe Mark Zuckerberg, he called me a lot. They are working on, and I think they fixed it.
But what?
And he's not doing what he did 4 years ago with the $500 million, I don't believe.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, but I know Trump likes to be stroked, and he loves the fact that Zuckerberg called him. Mark Zuckerberg's not on Trump's side.
I agree with that.
Don't let your guard down, dude.
You are right. I'm glad you said that.
They are so censorious on Facebook. It's one of the reasons I just, besides the fact that my feed has turned into, you know, cat photos and pictures of your kid's first day at school.
Hey, that's
and
why I got off 12 of years ago.
Crap. So I'm rarely on there anymore. I just go on to post, like, you know, which station I'm going to be on when I'm going to that type of thing.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg is so in the tank for the left. He's so full of crap. He got up in front of Congress and said, oh, yeah, we're not censoring. Baloney, you are. They censor everything on that platform. It's horrific. It's useless. Thank God for Elon Musk.
Thank God for Elon Musk. Social media like Facebook, Instagram, and things like that, and Google are basically the digital media version of mainstream media for the DNC. It's what they are.
Exactly. They bought that too.
Yep.
All right, guys, that's what I got for you.
All right. 9:53, Phil Almquist, take us into the weekend with what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. Kale and Company.
Today, August 2nd, we celebrate the birthdays of Jolynn Turner, who's now 73, and a heavenly birthday shout-out to Jim Capaldi from Traffic. We also lost Steve Holland from Molly Hatchet on this day in 2020. Singles include New World Man by Rush in 1982. Albums include Night Songs by Cinderella in 86. Don't Look Back by Boston in 78. Vinnie Vincent Invasion's debut also in 1986. And Rotting Pinata by Sponge in 94. Also in 86, Lady in Red by Christa Berg was atop the UK chart. In 68, The Doors was atop the singles chart in the U.S., In 62, Aretha Franklin made her TV debut on American Bandstand. And on the same day, Robert Zimmerman's name changed to Bob Dylan became official. Also in 2001, the New Orleans International Airport was renamed Louis Armstrong Airport. Definitely looking forward to getting back to New Orleans. But lastly, yesterday in Bethlehem, Music Fest opened up, running through the 11th. So if you like music, this is a must-go-to event every year, no matter your music taste, and a lot of it's actually free. I'll be there tomorrow to see Shinedown. I just hope the weather holds. for Kale and Company. Have a great weekend. I'm Phil Lomquist.
In case you're wondering what Phil's doing with his weekend, there you go. By the way, he is correct about Music Fest. It is a great, it is a great event.
I will actually be up there today and tomorrow. My in-laws have three concession tents on the main street.
Wow.
So if you want overpriced pretzels and
are you going to be out there making the cotton candy?
I don't know.
Swirling
it
around.
Just recontemplating
the candy
my life
apples.
While I'm there.
120 degrees.
Yeah. With my mother-in-law. She tells me Kamala Harris is better than Trump. I'm
just this could pretend be it, folks. It's golf. You'll be fine.
This could be it. I might not make it home.
May I ask a question regarding that music thing, that was?
Yeah.
There's a group called Rotted Pinata. Like I wrote that down. Like, really?
Sponge is the band. They were
Sponge. Were all the other good names taken? So they're like, well, you know, nobody has Sponge.
Rotting Pinata was the name of the album from like
Rotting Pinata. Well, they sound like fun. They sound 94. Like very nice young men.
We had a name change there in the 70s that Phil mentioned as well.
Yeah, Bob Dylan.
You know, back in my day, we used to change names. Now we change genders.
Fun fact, Bob Dylan was wandering around the town near me, and it's a big town for all the Bennies. They all go there, whatever. And he was wandering the streets, and a cop arrested him because she thought he was a homeless guy. So she wanted to know what he was doing in the neighborhood, and she didn't know who he was. And she had no clue. And she didn't arrest him, but she called in a suspicious person because he was wandering around. And it was the off season. And so that's what makes the news here.
There you go.
It's amazing.
That'll do it. Have a great weekend, Mary. It was great the last 2 days. Thank you very much.
You're so great. So much fun. You guys are the best. Thank you for having me.
All right. Stay tuned. Kathy Barnett is in next for Dawn Stensland. We're back on Monday morning at 6. And as John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.